Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the Midweek Takeaway with Revali. We have our guest today, Ippolito Cantaneo. I don't know whether I pronounced that correctly or not. You can correct me otherwise. Ippolito, some great news today in terms of a visit for your environmental assessment, and also that you've applied for the other resource as well for the same thing. Do you want to tell us all about it?
Yes. Good morning, Kev. Good morning, Charles. So we've done exactly what we said we would do, which for a small cap listed company might be quite rare. But we submitted the Valvadello EIA, environmental impact assessment, which was due on or before the 15th of July. So we've done that. Valvadello, we have, as you know, we have two license applications for exploration permits in northern Italy for what are two licenses, which collectively constitute Italy's largest uranium deposit, with two projects that have about 300 million euros of historical expenditure. That's an approximation, but it reflects the amount of money that was put into the two projects by Eni, the national oil company, back in the period between the sort of mid-60s to the early 80s, when the projects were shut in. And so, you know, where we are now is we've got the two EIA applications, which are now subject to review. So the Nevazza EIA, which is the other project, was submitted in April of this year. And the good news is that we've already had the inspection by the governmental authorities to the site following our submission in April. So that shows that the process is continuing exactly as we expected it to continue. And so we're working our way towards the approval, which will ultimately be the final step before the licenses are issued. Valvadello, the same, you know, we'll have the inspection in a few months' time. And then that will follow its journey in terms of the regulatory process. So all in all, we're very happy. We had very good interactions. The mayor of Nevazza, or Valgoglio, which is the Nevazza is a part of the town of Valgoglio, was present in the mine with us. A range of authorities were there visiting, and the sentiment and the interactions were all very positive. So, you know, of course, the risk associated with our stock surrounds, well, you know, will this company get the applications across the line? Will they get the licenses issued? And from what I can see, everything's going very well.
Mm. Well, I think the key thing, right, is when you look at like the history of this of these assets, which I kind of went into in depth a couple of days ago, is that, you know, the reasons why it kind of closed down, it wasn't Chernobyl. I mean, that kind of put pay to it for sort of the next 30 years afterwards. But it was Eni's restructuring, it was the uranium price crashing, it was, you know, a little bit of local opposition. And now, obviously, you've got the mayor coming up and saying, oh, this is something that we're quite excited about. You have, you know, you had the previous Eni plan, which the projects combined together were viewed as economic by Eni back in the day. And actually, they are, you know, as you say, they are the largest, you know, Italian uranium assets in the country, and in a country that's becoming pro-nuclear. So the stars are kind of aligning for you at the moment, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, we don't want to get involved in the nuclear debate because the nuclear subject is a very sensitive one in Italy, and there's been historically a lot of opposition. There's been a number of referendums, all of which have categorically rejected nuclear energy as an energy pathway. But as you say, what is and why a lot of people approach me and when they've seen there's been a lot of media interest in this listing and what we're doing, a lot of people say to me, well, if there ever was a time to pursue these two projects, which were previously, you know, you couldn't take them forward, they were just simply non-viable from a regulatory and sentiment point of view, now is the time. You know, a lot of people have said you've really timed this well, because Italy, for the first time really in its post-war history, is walking towards nuclear energy. And that there's a number of reasons for that, you know, energy autonomy, geopolitical events around the world. There's a lot of stuff that has caused that. So it's a good backdrop to have to be pursuing. You can't seemingly have a conversation about uranium exploration, which is what we're involved in, or seeking to be involved in once the two permits are issued, without talking about nuclear energy. So it's a backdrop where, you know, favorable nuclear energy, you have it in France, you have it in Switzerland. So whether you like it or not, if you're an inhabitant of Italy, you are exposed to nuclear energy in some way, shape or form anyway. And I think now we have cross-party consensus. You'd be hard-pressed not to find someone from, you know, political parties which have very differing views on many subjects, but there is consensus that nuclear energy is an energy source worth pursuing. You've obviously got decarbonisation, all the usual reasons that you would use to you would understand to be in favor of nuclear energy. So that is a positive backdrop, and that's why we feel that our uranium exploration pursuits are finally now viable in Italy in terms of a sentiment, regulatory point of view, and
Yeah, but the
economically.
interesting thing is that there's two issues here. There is the mining of the uranium, and there is the does Italy want to use it? Well, it's irrelevant whether Italy wants to use it almost, because you're going to find a buyer, whether it be Italy or someone else in terms of Europe, because there's going to be many people who will happily buy the uranium, regardless of whether Italy itself actually uses it. Is that fair to say?
Well, yeah, what you say touches upon what I call the Australian paradox, because in Australia you have a ban on nuclear energy, but then you've got one of the largest producers of uranium in the world and one of the most active uranium exploration countries in the world. So that shows, that sort of underlines that regardless of what the government's stance is on nuclear energy, which in Italy I think is very positive at the moment, so the Australian paradox would kind of be removed. It'd be more favorable than the situation in Australia. You have a situation whereby the two seemingly distinct positions can exist in tandem. They can exist in parallel without being contradictory to one another. So I think we don't want to get involved or exposed to the energy debate. That is something that will take its course, and we're glad to see it's a favorable course. But yeah, as you say, our goal now is to define firstly get the permits issued, get the EIAs approved. That's the primary objective, and that's the news we delivered today, is that we're working towards that, and everything is going to plan. Once we've got those exploration permits, we will then engage in exploration activities. So we would redrill the historical resources that both projects have. We're talking about a 15 million pound resource across the two projects. So we will define those two resources in compliance with modern reporting standards, so in compliance with JORC, come back to the market with two MREs for both projects. And that will, just if you look at the peer review comparison, those results, if you use the historical non-compliant resources just as a basis, but again with all the disclaimers that you would associate with a historical resource, you can then understand the valuation uplift that could potentially result just from that resource definition activity. Then, of course, the goal after that will be to pursue a mining license and to take those things forward from then. But our goal now is a very progressive and pragmatic approach, which is simply to engage in resource definition, taking advantage of hundreds of millions of euros that have gone into this project and the very good condition of both projects. Because I visited both projects many times now, and Novatza specifically, and we're all so surprised by how well these projects have stayed in top condition since after 40 years of inactivity. So it just goes to show how much money and how much good work was conducted by ENI, which no expense was spared back in the 80s when it was run by effectively a government entity. So look, I think it's a great opportunity. I think this has the potential to be one of the most interesting uranium stories in Europe. I think there is a lot of macro trends which will support our journey, and that's why I think the timing is right. But of course, now the objective is getting the EIAs approved, and the announcement today is positive in that sense.
Good. I mean, we're in a situation where I think the future of nuclear is going to be these small reactors, and these small reactors are going to require uranium. If you look ahead, what the potential price of uranium is likely to be because of scarcity now in terms of production, it all looks it's almost how can I explain it? It's almost like a tungsten story in terms of what happened with tungsten. We saw with tungsten that 3 years ago, 4 years ago, nobody was really talking about it. Then we realized that China basically controlled the situation. With uranium, it's maybe not all about China, but it is about a constraint of supply, which if these small reactors come online and other things that require uranium, then we're going to have a time where there's not enough uranium.
100%, and there's some, there's the fundamentals are very strong, and there's a widespread realization that supply for uranium is not where it needs to be. So I think we have the two towns, we have two towns, one town per project. We work very closely with both towns. The mayor of Novatza was Valgoglio, which Novatza is part of, was in the mine. So the key thing here is getting local support on a central government level, but most importantly also on a local level and a regional and town level. So that's what we want to do. We want to be Europeans. This is the other thing that distinguishes Revali from other previous applicants, because the other point to underline is that there were previous applicants for both these projects, and they all and they failed. One of the reasons they failed was that they didn't have the local town support, and they also chose the wrong point in history to pursue these projects. So we are Italian nationals. Our board is comprised entirely of Italian nationals, the three individuals at the moment, all Italian. So we're not speculators. We come to the towns and we speak the language, we understand their mentality. And fundamentally, our subsidiary is called Futuro Energetico Italiano, which stands for the energy, Italian energy future. So we're believers in the nation, right? We think Italy has a lot of potential. Italy was a very big, has a very rich mineral endowment, which was all really forgotten about and never really talked about since, since the 20th century. But we have a lot of resource, and so when sentiment changes, which we think it is and will continue to change, there's a lot of we have first mover advantage, especially for something as interesting as uranium. So I think it's a very interesting value proposition. Of course, I'm the executive director. I put a lot of my own money into it. I've Ajax and Zenith Energy, which is the largest shareholder, put a lot of money into it. My goal now is to widen the net of investors we because there's a lot of people who don't know about the story. So we really want to get institutional money in. We've already got one institution, which is Yorkville. Or to work on getting more institutional money, because this is an institutional narrative. But of course, the flip side of that is institutions don't typically look at, 10 million pound small cap companies listed in London, right? So as much as I love Aquis and I think Aquis is a great market, it's sometimes a struggle to get institutions in to an Aquis listed company. So that is the struggle we have here, or the challenge more than a struggle. I think the challenge that we'll rise up to is getting ensuring that the narrative is communicated properly, understood, getting the EIAs across the line, because there's a few people who say to me, well, you haven't got the licenses. Well, yeah, we don't. We've always said that very clearly, that we don't have the licenses. That's why we've priced this IPO so competitively. So there's a lot of stuff that we need to deliver, but I think the opportunity is there, and that's the commitment I can make to shareholders, is that we will work tirelessly to get this opportunity to where it needs to be.
Yeah, I think with the licenses, you're a 50 million pound company with great potential. Without the licenses, then you're taking that chance. So this is the decision that people have to make in terms of the investment now. Do I invest now on the basis that certainly Novazza may even come quicker than we anticipated, especially if they're already visiting you? So it could be a matter of well, it is going to be a matter of months. It's not years in either case, but those things are going to come forward. So that's the investment scenario as we speak at the minute. Do I get in before the licenses or after the licenses? If I get in after the licenses, I'm going to pay, and I'm going to pay a lot more than I am now. If the licenses don't come, which I think is possible but highly improbable, and the reason why is because of what you've already said. This is Italians in Italy, and I think you've got 100% better chance than anybody else because you understand the culture and speak the language, and they're going to respect that, I think.
Yeah, I mean, what they don't like, and they've seen a few cases of, Australian or US, or, I think there's been very limited UK investment in mineral resources in Italy, but mainly Australian, and they see them as speculators, as foreign people who have no real understanding or kind of empathy with locals and are just there to speculate on Italian natural resources. So that's, right or wrong, that's the perception, that's the prevailing perception that exists. And so we offer a different approach, which we sincerely believe in. We're not speculators, we're Italian, we like Italy, we believe in our nation, and we believe there's an opportunity. So that's, and the beauty of it is that we also have a London kind of disposition or understanding. So we're a hybrid, because, as you can tell from hopefully the way I speak English, I'm quite fluent in the language. So that enables me to interact with both worlds, if you will. So the goal here is to and we don't need to raise any money until we get the definitely until we get the EIAs approved. So, we're not going to come back to the market to raise funding. Of course, then we've got the warrants, which are all, disclosed in our admission document, which are at 10p, which is a loyalty clause whereby if you sell shares, you pro rata, you lose those warrants, which have a 1 year duration. So there's a lot of incentives to for loyalty, and then if we do raise money, which we're a listed business, there's no disguising it, we will raise money. We hope to raise that at multiples of the IPO price, which will mean that dilution will be minimized, and that then the floor will be set at a much higher level. So that's where we are now. Where it's summer, as we discussed previously, it's a summer period, so there's going to be a bit of ups and downs in our stock, and we've just listed, so the market is still taking taking positions in terms of grounding where the stock should be valued. But I think come September we'll hit the ground running, and hopefully there'll be news on other fronts as well, on the permitting and other business development objectives we have as a business. So we'll go from there. But no, I'm very confident, and I think we're doing exactly what we said we would do.
Very good. Well, good to talk, Eplito, and yeah, we'll speak to you in the not too distant future about all the things that are happening with Rev, we'll call
Well,
it.
Rev, great ticker symbol, right? You can't get it wrong. So
Yeah.
yeah, Rev. So no, we're looking forward to it, and we'll have some exciting news in the near future. So I'm looking forward to September, and to getting things moving in due course.
Okay.
All the best. Thank you very much, Kev.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.